It certainly is nice to want things. I mean, it's a part of who we are as people, is it not? And anyone that has kids can certainly understand kids that want things. Oh, we certainly have a nice-sized family. I'm familiar with kids that want things. In fact, it's many times, I have to be honest with you, when Julie was giving me something that I stuck in my mouth, you heard from the back, "Can I have one?" I was like, "Sure, you can have one." "What is it?" "They don't even know what it is. They just want it. Yeah. Whatever you got, I want." Even better is when you know what you want. If I describe for you now the melted butter dripping over a lobster tail that has been cooked to perfection, does the water start to come out of the corner of your mouths? Maybe you're not seafood lovers. How about a beautiful filet mignon that comes out still crackling from coming off the grill? And you cut into it, it's juicy and pink, or can be well done, however you like it. Your mouth starts to water. Now here's something you want. You know what it is, and your body says, "I need that." It would be my duty, my pleasure, to have you leave here today, not like the first concerning baptism, where you want it just because it's there and everyone else seems to be doing it, but that you desire it. You long for it. And if you've already been baptized, then you have a spiritual full belly. You say, "Thank you, Lord." I could not do justice explaining baptism to you. I mean, we've all grown up, most of us anyways, in the church. I couldn't do justice explaining it to you. So I will use the words of Dr. Martin Luther, our great theologian, and run through his small catechism. His catechism was a series of questions and answers. Concerning baptism, the first question was, what is baptism? Baptism is not simply water, is his answer, but it is water comprehended in God's command and connected with God's word. What is that word? It is that word which our Lord Jesus Christ spoke, and it is recorded in the last chapter of Matthew. We just read it. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Baptism is not simply something we do. It's commanded. It's a divine command to go and make disciples. Therefore, we're really not at liberty to say, "I don't want to. I'm not interested. I'm too busy." Because to do so would be the same as telling God, "I don't have time for you." We are commanded in Matthew to go and baptize, to make disciples, to teach all that I have commanded you. And that's what we do here. We do that through the service of the Word. We do that through Bible study. We do it through Sunday school, through fellowship time. And we treat it seriously. Concerning sacraments in the Lutheran Church, we have two, and two only: baptism and Holy Communion. Today, we're in the presence of both. St. Augustine said, "When the word is joined to the element," whatever that element is, that earthly thing that we see and we hold and we touch, we taste, "the outcome is a sacrament, a mystery. Something happens. God somehow becomes a part of it, and He becomes a part of us." Luther stood up in his time, actually, quite frighteningly, he stood up against believers that were all around him. To the Western Church, the church in Rome, he said, "You've got it wrong. Baptism is not magic. I don't stand up here and sprinkle some water and suddenly everything's different and it's changed and it's new. Not magic." And the church in Rome was teaching, once you're baptized, doesn't matter how you live your life, you can be the worst scoundrel in the world, it's baptism that gets you into heaven. As Lutherans, we don't believe that. It's faith, and faith alone that gets you into heaven. Luther also stood up to those who were separating from the church in Rome. Those others that were separating were saying, "You're right, Luther, it's not magic. As a matter of fact, it's simply a remembrance. We're simply remembering something that happened in Jesus' life, and that's it. It's a celebration. It's a party." And Luther said, "You're wrong too. It is not that. There is something special that happens. Christ does something. The Holy Spirit enters our body. There is something that happens, that baptism is there, and faith holds on to it and clings to it." I don't know if Luther wrote this or not, but it was in a book I was reading about the Small Catechism. And it said, "Baptism is like a large, sturdy ship on an ocean full of waves and turmoil. There are times when you may decide to jump off that ship, but that ship will never sink. It is always floating, and it is always a safe haven, and it is always stronger than anything you can imagine. You just need to climb back on board." I think that's a pretty good analogy. We all go through ebbs and flows in our lives concerning our spirituality, our belief. The gentlemen today in Matthew were standing next to the risen Lord, and the Holy Scriptures tell us that some doubted. Again, it's hard to fathom that. They saw him die, and they saw him alive again, and yet there was a little bit of a doubt running through them. They jumped off the ship. We just need to jump back on. Noah's Ark, if you're going to think about ships, was like a baptism. The Lord decided that a flood was going to come over the earth and destroy everything. But out of His grace, He said, "Noah, build a boat." How about the Red Sea? Kind of another baptism. Paul writes in the New Testament about crossing through the Red Sea. It was like a baptism. There's something more to it than just a ceremony, just a celebration. This is God's grace being given. Luther continues with his questions. What gifts or benefit does baptism confer? Does baptism provide? Does it offer? The answer, it works forgiveness of sins. It delivers from death and the devil and confers everlasting salvation on all who believe, as the Word of God has promised. What are such words? Those which our Lord Jesus Christ spoke, as they are recorded in the last chapter of Mark. "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." Forgiveness, life, salvation, deliverance from the devil. Baptism is not magic, it's not a ceremony, but it changes. It is that boat that keeps us from sinking down as the waves crash over our head. And that boat just keeps on floating. How can water produce such effects? Asks Luther. His answer? It's not the water, but the Word of God that accompanies and is connected with the water. And it is our faith which relies on the Word of God, connected with the water. For the water without the Word is simply water and no baptism. But when connected with the Word of God, it is a baptism. That is, a gracious water of life and a washing of regeneration in the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul says to Titus, quote, "Because of His mercy, He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." This is a faithful saying. Not mere water. This almost sounds, this next quote from Luther, almost sounds too Roman Catholic for me. But this is our founder, the one we are named after, Lutherans. Luther writes about the water that when the Word of God is added, it becomes divine, heavenly, holy water that is blessed, all because of the Word that transmits all of God's fullness. It is changed. It reminds me of describing to someone, what is Holy Communion? It's still bread, it's still wine, but it's different, and it's much, much more when we add God's Word to it. We see bread, we drink wine, or we see wine, but when we eat the bread and we drink the wine, we are partaking in Jesus Christ. He fills us. We have a deep, personal union and relationship with Him. And so it is with baptism. There is a relationship building up, a relationship that brings us closer to God through His Son by the work and power of the Holy Spirit. It's quite beautiful when you think about all three persons of the Trinity working together in holy baptism to welcome us into the church. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are there, and they're all offered through belief when accompanied with baptism. It's wonderful. Luther's last set of questions are, what does baptism with water signify? His answer, it signifies that the old Adam in us is to be drowned and destroyed by daily sorrow and repentance, together with all sins and evil lusts, and that again a new man should daily come forth and rise, that shall live in the presence of God and righteousness with purity forever. So written in St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, we therefore are buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. It's not a single event. Luther writes in many places, as does St. Paul here, that although there is a single event we can look back on, baptism is daily. Every single day we die, the old Adam is gone. Our desires to do things which we know God says, please don't do, and our undesire to do those things which He says, please, this makes me happy, this is right, and we don't find the time for it. Every day we bury that person. And we rise again in new life. Baptism is an ongoing remembrance and event in our lives that we look back on, but we experience daily. And it is a wonderful event. The old man is buried, the new man rises again. Luther concludes with, I should say, I'll conclude with Luther's quote, "Baptism is much more glorious than what God has otherwise commanded and ordained. It is so full of comfort and grace that heaven and earth cannot fathom it. There is no deficiency in the treasure. The deficiency lies in our failure to grasp that treasure and hold a firm grip on it." We should desire baptism like we desire that lobster or that filet mignon. If we haven't been baptized, we should drool for God's grace to be present in our lives. If we have children, we should desire that they taste God's goodness that He offers for us in the sacrament of holy baptism. And if we have already been baptized, we should daily remember that the old man has died and put off, and Christ in us is raised. What a better reason to say a prayer, "Thank you, Lord," every morning you wake up and get out of bed. Thank you once again for your goodness and your gracious. This is the word, and I do hope that you think about this throughout the week. And as we welcome Donna Lee this morning here through Sacrament of Holy Baptism, look back on these words and remember them through the week. Amen.